Morning. The time is 8:07. Currently a very pleasant start here in North Central Wisconsin. At our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, it is 67 degrees under fair skies. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up on the program at 8:20, we'll find out about what looks to be a hot and humid weekend weather-wise as we're joined by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. At 8:34 this morning, it is the latest edition of North Star Knows, along with North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. We'll be joined by Jay Cricks and have another topic involving home building and along those lines as well. So that's at 8:34 this morning. At 9:34 this morning, we'll be joined by Vic Verma from the AAPI voters, Asian American voters, and talk a little bit about what his group is looking at as we get into the 2024 fall campaign. So that's coming up at 9:34 this morning. But to start things off, as we do every Thursday morning, very happy to welcome back to the program from Up North News Radio, the host, Pat Kreitlow. Pat, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm annoyed.
What are you annoyed about?
I'm annoyed, frankly, by the Democratic Party right now.
Oh,
I'm going to throw this out to you, and maybe you can tell me that I'm either right or wrong. I gotta say, I was very, very happy to hear you talking about, again, some of the accomplishments that have been occurring under the current administration in the past 3.5 years, and actually, I think very important points that are not being pointed out right now, whether within the party or within the media. But just at the top of the hour, a few minutes ago, first story on CBS News at the top of the hour, another unnamed Democratic leading elected official says that many more Democrats are going to come out and call on the President of the United States to step aside. Let me put where I'm thinking, and maybe I think that I'm not just the only one, because yesterday we hear George Clooney steps out of line now. Mm-hmm. It feels to me like the President of the United States is being treated unfairly by members of his own party. I think that these unnamed leaks coming out all over the place is wrong. And I agree with what you said earlier as well about Democrats not being, you know, step in step line, you know, everybody has to think the same. That's not the point here. But I just get the feeling right now, based on the last 2 weeks, as opposed to what this administration has been able to accomplish, I am getting very annoyed with this, and I think it's unfair. Am I wrong? Are these Democrats doing the right thing because they're concerned that the president can't win, which I think is a big lie, this idea that Donald Trump is this unbeatable force right now and that Joe Biden can't win is the one reason. I'm getting annoyed, and I think that if the president is forced out, I'm going to have a very bad taste in my mouth, and it's not going to be good for Democrats coming up in November.
No, you're not wrong at all. If it has any appearance that a sitting president of the United States with the most successful record of accomplishment, certainly in our lifetimes, was forced out, there will be no shortage of people who will say, well, I mean, if we can't trust you to hang on to a strong leader who isn't as young and virile as he used to be, you know, for the sake of convenience, then what good are you? And it's worth noting, I have seen this movie before. This is a different, you know, take on it. But let's not forget that when Barack Obama was running for re-election, he was not seen as terribly strong at the time. You know, he looked vulnerable in 2010 and in 2012, the 2 years that I lost elections, in part because there were plenty of Democrats who suddenly were running away. And you'd see the headlines that say, you know, so-and-so won't mention Barack Obama by name in their remarks, or so-and-so won't greet Barack Obama at the airport. Ditto Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. you know, prior to that. The Democratic Party is not one that, you know, expects blind faith and blind allegiance. You're kind of on the honor system to do what is, you know, best for your party if you believe your party is the better course for the country. And yet there are plenty of people who will engage in their own specific selfish interests and abandon, you know, their party or their party standard bearer in a heartbeat if it works out well for them. You know, it's not just the Joe Manchins and the Kyrsten Sinemas, you know, when it comes to legislative matters, but when it comes to election time, there are people that absolutely will pretend not to know. I mean, who? You know, Barack who? I'm sorry, I've got something else scheduled. I've got to, you know, feed the dog and do my homework and do whatever it takes. And again, you have the right to do that, but I also have the right not to respect that.
Also, what we keep hearing now is, you know, they keep saying, well, the president has to go out there and prove that he's still able to do it. And frankly, at this point, I think he could go out there, do Simone Biles floor routine from the Olympic trials, walk across, climb up the Empire State Building, do a 3-hour press conference with standing on his head, and that won't be enough. And they'll say, well, you got to keep doing this. I mean, there
right.
was.
I would totally go the opposite direction. I would go completely the opposite. And I know this isn't what's going to happen, but I'm just telling you what I would do. What I would do is say, hey, guys, I'm 82 years old. And you know what? Here's my desk, and here in the Oval Office, here's this chair. I'm going to put my butt in this, and I'm going to do a lot more of this than I'm going to be doing, you know, running around on stages and things like that. I will talk to you anytime from this place, but I'm going to be here doing my job because this is what I can do. I have the experience. I can pick up this phone and talk to any world leader at any time and build a partnership that can save the world or save the economy, something almost nobody else can do. In my party or in both parties at this point, I'm going to be here doing the job. It's not campaigning from the basement. It's much more of the front porch campaigning that presidential candidates used to do, you know, pre-TV when we insisted that they be on camera 24/7. Mm-hmm. I'd say, you know what? We're not making this a reality show. I'm here. I don't move as much as I used to, but I still have, you know, everything that it takes to do this job. My record proves it, and come visit me anytime. I've got an amazing team. I've got an amazing set of values, and that's what works best for you, the voter. That's what I would do, but, you know, the Biden folks probably feel like they have to thread the needle, and I would not be that surprised, he says with just a little bit of exaggeration, if they weren't making Joe Biden, you know, learn some of Simone Biles' routine just to make somebody happy.
And also, I want to ask you what your opinion was of the George Stephanopoulos interview. I've been somebody that's enjoyed George, but I thought that interview was horrible. One question for 30 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. I don't have anything good to say about pretty much anything media related. I've been watching its slow circling of the drain in terms of credibility for many years now, and it's only building upon itself, that again, there is a show business aspect to it. You need ratings, you need eyeballs, you need buzz, you need to go viral and all of that. But it should be rooted in some basic tenets of journalism, including being unapologetically pro-democracy and holding to a higher standard those who are hostile to democracy than whether somebody is as young as they used to be. And yet we're not hearing that. We're not seeing the stories about a corrupt U.S. Supreme Court. We're not seeing nearly enough coverage of the criminal trials that Donald Trump is still facing. We're not seeing nearly enough about the actual state of the economy, but rather the trashing of the economy that's made up by, you know, certain sectors of the political spectrum. And so for them to conduct interviews the way that they've been conducted lately, it doesn't surprise me. It's in keeping with where they're going. And they're not doing anybody any favors. They're not doing the voters any favors, but they don't care about that. They're only to do themselves favors. Let's promote the hell out of this and let's get some ratings and then let's run commercials talking about the ratings. But in terms of substance, that's ancillary nowadays.
And finally, in our last couple of minutes, finally, maybe we're going to get some hearings to point out the corruption, as you talk about with the Supreme Court, with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez announcing she's going to put out some impeachment articles against Alito and Thomas. It's about time, isn't it?
It's about time, but it's a very sad thing because it's coming. Look, if something like this comes from a junior, and AOC is still, you know, a junior member basically of the House Democrats. If a junior member of House Republicans or Senate Republicans files something like this, it's usually quickly dismissed as somebody is grandstanding. AOC is not grandstanding. She has very real concerns here. This shouldn't be coming from her. This shouldn't be coming from a junior member of the House or Senate. This should be coming from Chuck Schumer. This should be coming from Dick Durbin. This should be coming from Hakeem Jeffries. And it's not. And it's wrong. And it is shirking responsibility because you don't want to, you know, annoy a few people that might be your margin of victory. If you think there's something corrupt going on in our U.S. Supreme Court, and there is, and you're not investigating it because of political convenience rather than right and wrong, again, you can do that, but I don't have to respect you for it.
Frankly, it seems as though sometimes Democrats feel like they're showing courage when they go after people like Al Franken and Joe Biden, and they let people like Clarence Thomas and Justice Alito slide by.
Amen, brother. Amen.
That is the host of Up North News Radio, Pat Kreitlow. You can hear him every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Bow Falls Radio at the Civic Media Radio Network. Pat, thank you. Enjoy hopefully a warm and sunny Thursday and a great weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
You bet. See ya.
Pat Kreitlow again joins us every Thursday at the top of the show. Coming up, we'll be finding out about how hot it's going to be this weekend. We'll be joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And then after that, at 8:34, it will be our weekly Thursday. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And I forgot to mention at the top of the show, you can also join us by joining us on Facebook.com and X.com. Go to the Bow Falls Radio pages and be able to see a video stream, be able to make your comments on the program, and join us that way as well. So again, Facebook.com, X.com, go to the Bow Falls Radio page, and you'll be able to see the video stream and join us that way as well. And as we do every weekday morning at this time, we're very happy to welcome back to the program our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. How are you?
Another lovely start here in north central Wisconsin. A lot of sunshine. Temperature already into the upper 60s. We'll be into the 70s before we're all done with the program here today. But it feels like it's been actually the longest stretch without rain in a while. We've actually had a couple of days without rain. It almost feels weird to have like 2-3 days without any rain, but it's been some very pleasant conditions and the temperature is very summer-like, but a pretty nice week so far.
Yes, it has been. We avoided a lot of those pop-up popcorn showers and storms that were forming across the state. They're so widely spread and widely scattered. And thankfully, we have missed all of those the past few days. And I think we're going to continue to miss them. There are chances today and tomorrow. I mean, it's pretty much the chances as we go through the next few weeks. We could have those pop-up showers and storms. But no big frontal systems where we are guaranteeing that massive downpour. That has not been the case. And actually today and tomorrow, a high pressure system is still taking over Wisconsin. It's parked over us. And that means beautiful blue skies that we're seeing right now. Barely any clouds until this afternoon. And a few of them will form and just move on out of here. I don't think any rain for us in Tawasa both today and tomorrow. So I can hear people cutting the grass right now, taking care of all those outdoor chores before that heat and humidity starts to move in for the weekend. I wouldn't plan to cut the grass this weekend. If you can avoid it, do so, because it's going to be gross out there as soon as Sunday.
And the thing is, we haven't really experienced that level of heat and humidity that you've been talking about. And again, we've been actually kind of, you know, fortunate in that respect, because this time of year that can definitely come through. But as you said, be prepared for it. I mean, make a plan of action if you have outdoor activities, if there's going to be any exertion at all, that because, as you said, we're going to be knocking on the door at the very least of heat indices of triple digits when we get to this weekend, aren't we?
Yes, we are. So you got to remember, first of all, we're Wisconsinites, right? We don't get these long stretches of heat and humidity like Florida does. Our bodies are used to the cold, right? That's what we can handle. We're strong with that. So yes, 90 degrees doesn't sound too bad. And then when you mix the 70 degree dew points in there, you're kind of getting heat indices around the triple digits. That sneaks up on us. I'm telling you, it's happened to me before where I've had heat related illnesses and they come out of nowhere. I was just out kayaking, doing my normal things, nothing too crazy, very small paddles, things like that, staying hydrated. I'll tell you, I got off the water last year. It hit me so fast. I was dizzy. I started to become unconscious. I started to black out a little bit. That was the heat-related illnesses, the heat stroke sneaking up on me. I ignored the fact that I was sweating. I ignored the fact that I was so, so thirsty. You know, I was drinking, but there was all these little signs that led up to it. And I'll just tell you, it's not worth it. It happens like this. So just stay hydrated, stay cool. If you're going to be outside this weekend, go to the pool, go to the lake, do something with water where you can jump in and cool down quickly, or have shade nearby or air conditioning nearby. And I will say, Saturday night, if you have outdoor plans, because we have so much going on. What is it? Taste and Glow this weekend, Hodag Fest in Rhinelander. There's so many things. Was it the Central Wisconsin Valley Fair? So many things. So Saturday night, we could see some strong to severe storms. So keep that in mind as you're out and about this weekend. Otherwise, hydration.
And when you say that you are, you know, getting to that point of heat stroke knocking on the door, and you know, you're still a very young lady, and you're very much, and the thing about it, it kind of reminds me, it's sort of the opposite of what we talk about in winter when we get a big snowstorm, especially for folks who are getting up to my age and beyond. You go out there and you start shoveling the snow after a big snowstorm. You have to be aware that, you know, you often hear about people having health issues or heart attacks like that. It's sort of the opposite here, but it's still just as dangerous, where you, again, you have to be prepared. You got to be ready. You have to have that hydration. But I thought you made some really good points there.
Yes, yes, you guys. And it can hit anyone at any age. Like you're making the points, you know, I'm in my upper 30s, right? And it hit me. And when you think about this, children, their bodies heat up 3 to 5 times faster than us adults. So you really got to keep an eye on the kids, really got to be shoving fluids down their throats through this weekend. Right. And, you know, just really be aware too of the elderly. Check on your neighbors, check on your family, just give them a call this weekend, make sure everything's working right, the AC's moving, fans are on, stuff like that, because it is a scary situation. It's a silent killer. Heat is a silent killer.
Absolutely. So what are the details here for the end of the work week into the weekend?
Well, some comfortable heat today, low to mid 80s, both today and tomorrow. Mostly dry, just a little sprinkle is possible, but I highly doubt it here. Otherwise, by Saturday, that's when that humidity starts to push in. It's going to feel pretty muggy with temperatures in the upper 80s. And then by Sunday, the humidity really filters in, temperatures flirting with 90 degrees, and we're going to hold on to that into Monday as well. A little bit of humidity lingers into Tuesday before it kicks on out of here. But overall, we are looking at some strong to severe storms possible Saturday night and into Sunday morning. And then, of course, we're looking at a cold front potentially pushing in Monday, which could fire up some more strong to severe storms. But until then, just some pop-up showers. Nothing major to worry about, and only a few of us will see those.
Fantastic to a certain extent.
Right, right. Yeah.
Brittany, thanks for the information. We'll catch you again tomorrow.
Bye, Brittany.
Sounds good. Enjoy the day.
Right now in Wausau, fair skies. Temperature stands at 67 degrees. Again, very pleasant start as we get things underway this morning. The winds are fairly light out of the east at 5 miles per hour. The dew point is 60 degrees, so the relative humidity is 79%. The barometer at 30.12 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Well, coming up after an information update, news, weather, and sports coming up at the bottom of the hour. We do at the top and the bottom of every hour. Well, coming up after that, it is Thursday, so it's time again for North Star Knows with North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. We'll be talking about the content cleaning process. Plus, we'll also be discussing building materials removal after fire and smoke damage. So again, it's time for Thursday and North Star Knows coming up. Along with Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 8:28. Glad you could be with us. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:34. It is Thursday morning. That means it's time again for North Star Knows as we talk with North Star Restoration Services and North Star Builds. And again, it's been very informative for those of us who may not be what we call experts in so many different issues when it comes to home building and home restoration and dealing with storms and everything like that. But very happy to welcome back John Garcia and Jay Cricks from North Star.
Thanks for having us back, Chad.
Great to see you guys again here on a beautiful Thursday morning. And we've gone through so many different areas in terms of what we've been talking about so far in this show. Jay's pointing at the tree. I got it right in front of me on the computer.
I saved
a tree here by not printing it out. But Jay, what are we going to talk about here to start things off today?
So, you know, we sort of left off 4th of July weekend talking about the dangers of fireworks and the potentials of fire damage in your home and or your place of business. And, you know, what we have not ever talked about is, we can take care of the structure. You know, we've talked about cleaning the structure and putting the structure back together and the reconstruction process, but we've never talked about the contents inside of the structure. So What happens to all of the belongings, the sofa, the toaster, the knickknacks on the wall, and all of those things inside of the home that are affected when a home has a fire, whether it's an electrical fire or a kitchen fire or maybe a candle or a space heater or whatever the cause may be, typically there's smoke. So the smoke damage, you know, goes and filters throughout the home. And, you know, there's a lot of unknown areas that the smoke gets into. And John will kind of address some of that later. But we've never mentioned North Star Content Services. So that's a separate entity other than North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. We haven't talked about this yet.
No, we have not.
So yes, here's a little fresh little nugget for everybody out there. And what North Star Content Services did recently is we purchased a national franchise that processes and cleans contents. Mm. So we are North Star Content Services, but we own Lions Restores by North Star. And what Lions focuses on is the actual cleaning and the processing of the contents. It's its own separate entity. It has its, you know, its own footprint. Yes, we all reside under the same roof, but it's got roughly about 13,000 square feet of contents processing and storage right inside of our facility. So that's what we wanted to talk about today, is how do we address the contents and what happens to those things?
So I guess it really is multi-layered because, I mean, number one, you have to probably have to take a long look on exactly what is there, but also then what can be salvaged and what can't be salvaged. Is that part of the
process? Those are some key words you just used, salvage versus non-salvageable. So after a home has a fire, obviously once it's safe to re-enter the building, we would go in. And
don't
we start,
go in when the fire starts.
Right, exactly. we go on and we start assessing the salvageable versus non-salvageable.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, the non-salvageable stuff is going to be really close to the source area. And what I mean by the source area is where the fire started.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So whether it's in the kitchen or whether it was in a bedroom because of an outlet or whatever it might be, typically the source room, you're going to find more of the non-salvageable stuff because that's where the fire was more intense, okay? So that's where you're going to find a lot of blistering or a lot of heavy smoke damage, which can really saturate porous materials. Porous meaning stuff that can accept, you know, it's porous, so it's going to take on odor, it's going to take on soot. So once you typically get out of that source room, quick segue, that's why it's so important to close your bedroom door at night. But once you get out of that source room, we pretty much are able to salvage a lot of the items outside of that area. So what we look for is, one, if there's any blistering, if it was like a finished piece of furniture, is it really burnt and charred? Can it be sanded and refinished?
Mm-hmm.
Can it be salvaged? Are the fabrics burnt? Was it so close to the heat that it's just falling apart? But when we find the good salvageable stuff, we start separating the stuff. So we have the non-salvageable stuff, and all that stuff needs to be documented and itemized, right, so the homeowner can hand that into the insurance company for reimbursement. And then the salvageable stuff, that stuff starts getting tagged right there on site. We use little QR codes, little tags.
Mm-hmm.
So we put a tag on it, scan the QR code, and that goes into a system and starts creating an inventory. So everything that's salvageable and cleanable, we know what we have. We know what we're able to take away from the home because it goes right into a little computer and they type it in and they put a little label on it. And then it gets boxed up, and then shipped back to our facility for cleaning and processing. So there's multiple different ways that we would clean and process the items, because there's so many different types of items in the home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything from electronics to clothing to hard goods. So it's really a full-on separate business, you could say, from the actual restoration stuff where we deal with the facility or the building, or the reconstruction portion where we put it back together again.
It's part of that process as well, and something that you guys have talked about in the past as well, that you do exceptionally well is working with the homeowners. And I imagine that in this situation, it's even as important, because when you're discussing some of these items, I imagine that you need to know from the homeowner what's vitally important. If there's a way to save it, I imagine that they want to say some special item that has, you know, emotional connection or a financial connection. I imagine you have to work very closely because decisions have to be made. I mean, obviously, during in the aftermath of any kind of situation like this. But I imagine again that you work closely with the homeowners and the people that are going through this situation. Where do you put your efforts? I imagine, so, right?
This is really where the rubber meets the road with the relationship with the customer. Mm-hmm. You know, people. Yes, we are very attached to our home. We love our houses, but we love even the things inside of our houses even more, mm-hmm. because some of those things are irreplaceable. There could be maybe like a little knickknack that your child made in first grade in art class. You know, maybe it might be something like a little clay pot or something that they painted up. And that is a precious memory.
It sure is.
You know, it could be something that was handed down from grandma. It could be something that you got from grandpa. It could be something that you just have been hanging on to and collecting your whole life. Maybe, you know, maybe you're a little bit older and maybe you liked collecting antiques and you've been collecting stuff for 20 plus years. And, you know, these things are a collection of our past, of our history. And it kind of, you know, it shouldn't, but a lot of the stuff in our home, you know, typically defines, you know, our past and where we've came from. You know, maybe you've moved from, you know, city to city, state to state, maybe country to country. And there's things that you've brought along with you. So there's a lot of emotional attachment to the contents in our home. And that's why we decided, you know what, if we're going to do contents, let's really get specialized. Let's really focus on this and make sure that when we do these, things, that it goes super smoothly. And it really is a big part of turning a bad experience into a good one.
It's North Star Knows with North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. And we added a third one today.
We did. North Star Content Services.
North Star Content Services.
You betcha.
Every Thursday here on Bull Falls Radio. Jay Cricks and John Garcia with us. You talked about the inventory.
Yeah.
And I imagine that that's something that people should be thinking about before we have an issue. Because, it could be very difficult afterwards to try to remember or to have an accurate listing of everything that's part of a...
Especially in a total loss situation.
Right.
You know, if you live outside of a major municipality, so maybe you live in the town of so-and-so, the town of Wausau, maybe you live a little bit further out in the country where you don't have... you know, a top tier fire department that can get to your home quickly and extinguish a fire. Sometimes these losses, sometimes some of these homes are, you know, they're hard to get to. And unfortunately, it's more of a controlled burn at that point and preventing it from spreading. And a lot of times there are total losses in our area. And you're correct. You hit that nail right on the head. Without a proper home inventory ahead of time, it's going to be really hard to remember everything that you had. So that is a huge thing that people could do ahead of time is create a home inventory. Do a video, do a video annually.
Yeah. Photos
and a video go a long way where you can pop open those cupboard doors, just scan through, do a little video, upload it to the cloud because it's no good if it's saved on a floppy disk or a little thumb drive and that gets melted in the fire. Okay, that was great.
Great, we were with everything else, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, a paper booklet is great, but paper is pretty susceptible to fire. So if you're going to create a home inventory, create a video, maybe upload it somewhere so you have it digitally saved in the cloud is what we would recommend.
Well, let's kind of, I'm going to assume that for somebody that doesn't take those steps. Oh. How do you go about it? How do you try to figure that out?
So that's just that's a conversation a lot of times with the insurance company and the homeowner where they just have to sit down and, you know, just break it down by room. Okay. So sit down and we have a home inventory booklet that we provide to homeowners that it lists each and every room in a home from, you know, big houses to small houses. And you just sit there and you just have to kind of remember what you had and just go through it methodically in your brain as best as you can. And then you have to put dollar amounts to the items. Right. It's a stressful process.
Yeah.
And it is challenging because there's no way a restoration company or a third party could come into your home and know what you have if all they're looking at is, you know, ashes or a pile of rubble. It's really difficult. So doing it ahead of time is the best way. Now, on non-total losses, we can get in there. Mm-hmm. Typically, you just have to remember the source room. And a lot of times when you've got non-salvageable stuff, you can look at it and remember what it was.
Right.
It's just the extreme fires where it's very, very difficult. And typically, the homeowner or the insurance company will just cash them out and say, well, you had this much for contents. How does this amount sound? Do you think you can replace everything you had for this amount? And they come to an agreement and they get the deal done. But in situations where it's not a total loss, you just go through the house and you look at what the item was. And if it's not severely damaged and you can look it up on eBay or get a serial number off of it, there's software out there. that can be utilized to figure out what its value is.
And something else before we finish this part of the topic, you talked about the salvageable and the non-salvageable. Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about how technology has been moving forward over the years. Do you find now that there's a lot more that can be salvaged because of advances in technology and
cleaning processes?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Every year there are advances in cleaning processes. For the most part, we don't attempt to save anything that you would be sleeping on, like pillows and stuff like that. That stuff just gets replaced. A lot of times mattresses just get replaced because there's a lot of carcinogens in that stuff. Same thing with children's toys or baby toys. Even if they're plastic, plastic absorbs. So we typically replace all that stuff, or we would deem it non-salvageable. But a lot of the things, there are some really good cleaning processes out there. We've got our fire line system. But it's a huge ultrasonic processing system that it looks kind of like a commercial kitchen where you've got a big stainless table. It goes through a pre-rinse, then a soak, then it goes into this massive ultrasonic tank, then it gets a secondary rinse and goes through a big dryer like you'd see in a kitchen, for doing dishes, and then it comes out the other end and they dry everything off, box it up, slap a label on it, and get it ready for the ozoning process. So that's another technology. With ozone's been around for a while, but what that does is that helps permeate any of the contents that you might have washed it off and cleaned it and it looks clean, but it might be retaining some odor.
Right.
So then we have an ozone room where everything goes into that room and it gets a treatment. And then after that, it gets get the old sniff test and smell it, see what it smells like, take a look at it. And then if it's good to go, if it's passable, gets boxed up, gets put into a climate controlled storage facility and stored in a big old vault until the home is ready.
Wow. And it's amazing that you guys just keep adding more and more to the overall North Star family here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really cool indeed. We're going to go away for just a moment, but what are we going to talk about after in just about a little more than a minute?
John?
We're going to talk a little bit about your building materials inside the home, kind of things that we've seen where we can save this, we can't save this, and kind of how we deal with the structure as a whole.
We got to get John Garcia, get that voice out there.
That's it.
Absolutely. We got Jay Cricks, we got John Garcia. It is North Star Knows again every Thursday from 8:34 till 9 o'clock. We talk about all sorts of great different aspects that North Star deals with. And by the way, after last week, I wanted to make sure we all had our fingers after 4th of July.
Absolutely. I like to watch fireworks from a distance.
Exactly right. So we'll have more with Jay and John coming up in just over a minute. The time is 8:48. Chad Holmes Show, North Star Knows, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa, and on the Civic Media app. It is North Star Knows with North Star Restoration and North Star Built here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And again, don't forget that if you missed any of the previous North Star Knows, you can go to our podcast page. Go to bullfallsradio.com, civicmedia.us, or just wherever you get your podcasts. Search out Chad Holmes Show, go to the Thursday editions, and you'll be able to see all the previous North Star Knows here on Bull Falls Radio. I'm Chad Holmes with Jay Cricks and John Garcia from North Star Restoration Services and North Star Builds. And as we talked about just before we stepped away for a moment, building materials removal. And again, we talked about after the event, you take a inventory, you start that process, but then of course there's the removal aspect. And John, we're going to talk about that.
Correct. Yeah. So North Star Restoration, they have a team. After all the contents are done, the team will come in, they'll do all the demo with engineered controls. So HEPA filtration, if there's drywall that needs to be removed, if there's insulation, any type of finishes, floor finishes, anything, they'll come in, they'll demo all that. Well, a lot of times, depending on the severity of the fire, you might have some framing members that are charred, like in the attic or on stud walls, or even floor joist systems when you're going from the first floor to the second floor to the basement. And that's where we really come in and assess that. And depending on the severity, you'll get some wood that'll just have smoke damage right on the outside of it, which the mitigation team, they'll usually sand down. They'll put a sealer on it, which is shellac, which seals it in. Mm-hmm. And we can save that. But sometimes there's times where the fire was a little more severe and you end up with charring on the actual wood itself. And normally, you know, if you just take a knife and you stab it, if your knife's going in like a quarter inch and you can pop those layers off, and it's really deformed the actual structural member and the original size of the framing, that's when we normally, if it's involved with like a roof system, or we're getting pretty technical, we'll bring in a structural engineer to basically put in a repair plan. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing that maybe the public may not know. A lot of times I think people think of like, oh, a house fire, you just got to bulldoze the house down and restart over. There is mm-hmm. a lot we can do. I mean, we have taken off entire truss systems down to the top plate on homes, kept even on homes where the drywall in some rooms stayed on like half the house, and we've taken the roof off when the weather's good and done a whole ton of tarping and actually put a whole new roof system on and then rebuilt it to try to save some of that, especially when, you know, we're talking about insurance and they want to do the best that they can to not, you know, pay out as much, you know, overpay, right? Like if we can save an area, let's save the area. Let's yep. save the insurance company. Let's save the, you know, that part of the home for the homeowner. And so we try to do our best when it comes to that. So there's a lot we can do with replacing certain areas of the home, and we've replaced, you know, certain exterior walls, floor systems. We can really take apart your house and rebuild it better than it was before mm-hmm. and really get you back to that spot that you were in. You know, and then you have spots where you have maybe just a small kitchen fire. And depending on the smoke damage, a lot of times, you know, let's say the kitchen cabinets got burnt up a little bit, but in the living room, you just had a little smoke on the ceiling, and then maybe there was some built-in bookshelf cabinets like by a TV. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they'll clean that ceiling. We can seal and paint that ceiling. And then when it comes to the cabinets, if there's like undersides of shelves, let's say, that aren't sealed, we can actually bring those back to the shop, seal them, treat them, you know, put them back, especially let's say it's a 100-year-old house and they have this beautiful custom built-ins. Right. There's been times where people, that's like stuff that they yeah. want to save. They're like, if we can save this mm-hmm. anyway, and, you know, we'll remove trim so we can get behind it, clean everything. The cleaning crew can do their thing, and we can reseal all the unsealed wood and put it all back together so it looks like the original.
Looks like when Grandpa built it.
Correct.
Also, over the years, and you've been around this business for a while, with maybe improvements in building materials, are you able to do more of this where you have more options, where you have the opportunity to, instead, as you said, basically bulldoze it and start all over again? Do you find yourself having more of the opportunities to go in there and save certain, you know, aspects of yeah. a home?
I mean, depending on the types of materials that are put in, obviously, like, you know, one thing. Tile, for instance, if you have a tile floor that's, you know, in the next room, let's say it did get smoke on it, a lot of times they can clean that tile, take the grout out, and we can regrout it, and a lot of times you can save that. Hardwood, for the most part, with the grooves, you pretty much have to remove that. You're mm-hmm. just never gonna get, you're never gonna know that you 100% removed any of the soot or smoke that got sucked into those grooves. Same thing with tongue and groove car siding, like on a ceiling or on the walls of a house. We're always going to take that out. A lot of times taking the casing out around windows, because smoke is attracted to cold air. So especially in the fall and the winter, it'll actually suck in to those jams in between the actual window unit and mm-hmm. the stud. So a lot of times you'll pull that off. If there's insulation in there, it's actually a little bit better because it kept it from getting all the way past, and you can remove that insulation, clean that out, blow it out with air, seal it, and then put new urethane foam around the windows, so you don't have to really go in and take apart all the windows, especially if it wasn't a super bad fire. But sometimes you'll have a pretty light fire, but depending on the air leakage in the house, you'll have areas that
yeah.
will suck in that smoke, and all of a sudden, you know, like you've probably right. seen like a story and a half house that has a closet that's like you got to get down on your knees to get in. Mm-hmm. Those are notorious for sucking in smoke. And mm-hmm. usually the insulation in there is unfaced. So a lot of times we have to remove all that and replace it as well.
But bottom line, and probably the most important aspect, is the safety and the health aspect. Correct. I mean, that's what's number one. That's where you start, right?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, we look at it as a whole with the homeowner and go, okay, is there anything in here that is like, okay, this is something I really want to try to save. We'll do our best, you know, within reason. But otherwise, you know, a lot of times we'll tell them, you know, straight out, like, hey, this is for your health and safety. We just need to remove all this, get rid of it, replace it with something new. So that way you're going to have a healthy home going forward.
We got about 75 seconds to go. As we wrap it up, I think something that I take away from this discussion, number one, is make sure you have that inventory. Let's start things off. What else should people be remembering and taking away from this discussion?
Let's say you redid your kitchen cabinets 5 years ago. Save the information or the receipt. If you redid your flooring, if you redid your vanity, that's if you huge. Did your tub, shower, toilet, even your toilet, you could have a $50 toilet. You could have a $400, $600, $800, $1,200 toilet. So if you have those receipts, that's where it will help you. Where when we go in there to redo, when to put the estimate together, if we knew you had a high grade versus a medium grade cabinet and we could show insurance that, you're going to get a whole lot more money to replace what you had versus if you don't have that documentation and now we're going, you know, this is a higher end cabinet because we know it has plywood boxes and dovetail drawers and soft close and everything, and they're 42 inch high uppers versus 30 inch. That's great. But if we have the actual documentation, it helps out a lot, especially when it comes to hardwood flooring, any type of interior finishes.
John Garcia, Jay Cricks, great information as always, and we'll catch you again next week.
We'll see you then.
Thanks for having us.
North Star Knows every Thursday here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.